Welcome to episode 459 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, and George. So we often hear about bucket list adventures on this podcast, trips that challenge and inspire you, experiences that find their way into your heart and have a lasting impact on your life. Recently, Lindsay was able to cross off the number one adventure on her own bucket list when she got to experience a safari in Kenya. So let's get started. So yay, this is awesome. I know this is something you've been wanting to do. And a new is this an, not a, a brand new continent for you, but not one that you've been to very much, right?
No, not a new continent, but it's definitely one I hadn't spent this much time in. I'd never personally done a safari. I've never been on a safari before, an actual safari. So this was completely new. And I was so scared. It's been so long since I've had that fear, that travel fear. But like, what if all these things I've been telling people?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were scared that like you were going to get eaten by a lion or something.
If that's the way I go, that's the way I go. At least I'll be able to say it wasn't because I tried to pet it or do something stupid like take a selfie.
Oh, yeah, get out of the car on the safari. Like you see the pictures of people putting their kids like by the cheetah.
No, but I mean, there is so much that goes into a trip like this, and it really is. You know, we always hear that saying like 90% of the enjoyment you get from a trip is your pre-planning. Well, when you're talking about a safari and all of the requirements that you need to enter the country, you know, all the vaccines, and you have to have the typhoid, and you have to have like all these things have to line up, and you can only get them at specific times, and some of them can't be taken with other ones. And in my case, I had to do a little bit of research into my background to see what I'd even had, and had to get like blood drawn to tell if I'd had certain things before. So that was kind of interesting. But all of that kind of to say that, you know, that anticipation, that excitement that you feel, also now you're mixing in medicine, right? You're mixing in malaria pills. And
you're mixing We should specify what country you were going to.
Yes, I was going to Kenya. Okay. Through Dubai. I went to Dubai first and then into Kenya. But
did you need something different for Dubai than Kenya, or was this all like Kenya?
No, it was all for Kenya. And I had my whole stack of recommendations, and the CDC website really does have an overly extensive amount of things that they suggest that you have, that I think when you're looking at that list at first, I was like, I need all of this. I talked to my doctor and calmed it down a little bit. Okay. The last time I went to Africa, I don't remember thinking about any of that. It's supposed to be a sign of aging. So all of that kind of ramped up with this excitement and this nervousness and the, oh my gosh, what if I have a reaction to these malaria pills? what if this medicine doesn't sit right with me? And it was all for nothing because it ended up being wonderful. But it's that nervousness, right, that I'm going into this environment that I may not be 100% comfortable in right out of the gate. I mean, I know what I'm doing, but I don't really know what I'm doing, kind of thing. Like, I know the outline, but...
But you were with a group of other agents, right?
I was.
100% on your own. Yeah, that's good.
I was with a group. There were several agents, but there were a lot of spouses with them as well. I think we had, 11? We had 11 people in our party in total. Nice. And 5 in one vehicle. 6 and the other.
Let's go through your itinerary. You flew into Nairobi.
Yep.
What was that like?
That was fantastic. Very, very small airport. Everything's all kind of open air. You get your bag. You're right there.
There's
not a whole lot to the Nairobi airport. It's not very big. But you're But which is nice for going in and going out. It made things very convenient. And then right outside the door was where I needed to be to get my shuttle for staying at the Crown Plaza in Nairobi for a few nights before we started our trip, which was very wise thing to do. Even though I was only coming from 5 hours away because I was flying in from Dubai, I had planned this originally as a way to like recover from my last trip. So I would have some downtime, but this is definitely something that I would always suggest for clients who are flying from a very far distance to take that like a day or two to really reacclimate your body to now I'm on this different time schedule that was totally different than what I'm pretty used to flipping back and forth between Europe and Pacific Standard Time, mm-hmm. but now I'm throwing this into the mix and I just to kind of get my body back where it needed to be and not be too tired to start. And you really want to have all of your, there's all these things that go with this trip. This isn't like you can do a carry-on only trip on a safari. That's not.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This works. Well, let's be real. You don't do carry-on only trips.
I did one for like 50 days with a carry-on only. You guys forget. I have video proof.
I did forget that, yeah.
So this is definitely not a carry-on only trip. This is one of those lots of preparation. We're talking ordering things on Amazon, ordering things from different companies to make sure I had the right whatever, researching in depth a bug spray because you need the right bug spray. You don't need like the Walmart bug spray. You need
jungle juice.
100% DEET.
The malaria bug spray. But yeah.
The stuff is really going to do something. And then I got the stuff to treat your clothes. And, so I had my comfortable shoes and I had all the things that I've advised other people. This is such a surreal thing for us when we get to do something like this. We've been telling people for years, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, this, this. And then when you go do it and you're like, okay, yeah, this is why. This makes sense.
that stuff is pretty... it's pretty bad stuff and you'd only need, you can get it at REI, but it will, they say leave the lid on because it will eat through other it things.
Well, and I saw people were selling it in plastic containers on Amazon. I'm like, that can't be real because it would have ate through that plastic container. Oh, there's no way that plastic is containing that date. Anyway, so I get all my accoutrement. I've got all my stuff and kind of one of the things that I did in the hotel room in Nairobi at the Crown Plaza is, by the way, it's this gorgeous hotel. They have a rooftop pool and bar area. They've got a really great bar in a restaurant area, fantastic food. They're potatoes at the breakfast. I don't know what they were, what was seasoned on them. And I should have asked. It's going to haunt me for the rest of my life, but they were the best potatoes I've ever had in my whole life. They were that good. I just, nice. It was incredible. So great hotel, great location, but I kind of laid everything out and made sure I had what I needed, where I needed it, because we were going to be doing some moving around. So we started in Nairobi and I had a couple optional things that I had added on that were not part of the tour that I decided I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the elephant orphanage, which ended up being one of the highlights, easily, hands down, of my trip. It was so incredible to see the work that they do. And their whole goal there is to, they take in these baby orphan elephants. And there's orphan rhinos. I get to see a baby rhino.
Like, wait, is this the one where they had, like, the elephant and the rhino that were best friends that I read? I had, like, a children's book that was about, like, the rhino was in a flood or something.
I don't know. Because you can go to their website and you can learn all about their conservation efforts and what they do there. And if there's a way to help these animals naturally be reintroduced to the wild, they do that through the Nairobi National Park, where they take them wherever and they kind of, when they're ready in their own time, if they're ready to be reintroduced. And it was excellent to learn about. It was so, you can read all their stories. There's some very sad stories because there's some animals who have been orphaned due to environmental disasters. Some of them have been orphaned due to humans and poaching and just a side effect of civilization encroaching on where they live. And there are lots of reasons why it happens, but this is such a great organization and they're very picky about how many people they let in. They can only let so many in. They only do it one time a day, and that's that's it. So you need a reservation in advance, or you need to be doing a tour that has a reservation for you. I got really lucky. I signed up for this tour later on. I was one of the last people to join, so I wasn't expecting to be able to get into this at all. And somebody had canceled, so I got to take their spot, which was nice. Incredibly fortunate. Then we went over to, and have you seen the Giraffe Manor? Where the giraffe
is this the one that Laura used to talk about where she kissed the giraffe? Yeah. did you kiss the giraffe?
I kissed the giraffe. I was very afraid of being headbutted by a giraffe, though. I do not trust them. They are sneaky, sneaky, and they are vindictive. If you do not have food for them, you are wasting their time, and they will headbutt you. And I watched them almost take some people out. So,
They are actually. Yeah, I remember hearing a story about a giraffe that attacked somebody, and they like swing their necks.
They do. Yeah. They get into it, and they're get out of my way if you're not feeding me pellets. They're
worse than beavers, I think, or otters.
So giraffe center. Oh gosh, I don't even want to. Yeah, and the giraffe orphans. Just wait till I tell you about the hippos, Sandy.
The hippos are sweet and cuddly, though. And
no, they're not.
No, they are not. They've killed more people than anybody.
Did the giraffe center, and then also did the carnivore dinner, which I'm glad I did. Which seemed a little cheesy thing to do. You go to this carnivore restaurant where you're having all of this meat, like anything that you can imagine eating, they're cooking it, and it's kind of all you can eat, and they just bring it out and they serve it family style with all these dipping things on like a Lazy Susan in the middle, and you just eat and eat and eat until you explode, and she said that's enough, I can't have any more.
So so what kind of meat, like stuff that we're not used to here?
A lot of game that we're not used to. A lot, like ostrich, crocodile. There was a bunch of things. I don't even know what the heck they were, but I tried everything.
Nothing cute and cuddly though, right?
I don't really think it was anything cute and cuddly, no. So we did that. Then we were off on our safari. We got to meet our guides and kind of start our trip. We went to the Amboseli National Park first, where we stayed at the Amboseli Sienna Safari Lodge, which was okay. That was pretty interesting.
Sounds like you're being very diplomatic here.
No, I just meant like it was a good first start, I think, for for this trip. Amboseli is absolutely beautiful. Easily one of my favorite parks. So many elephants. I can't even tell you. I think there's like 6,000 elephants or however many there are that live there. I think I saw all of them. I'm on a first name basis with at least half of them. No, but this, it was incredible. And I knew it was kind of like, you hear all these cheesy things. Everyone always talks about how great their safari was and how it's life changing. And, it really is. It sounds very cliche to say it, but there's no other way to describe that feeling of when you're standing in the national park. Standing in this park is less than like the amount of the size, the vastness of this beautiful land. You're just staring out and looking and, you know, realizing your own insignificance and how tiny we all are in this world. Sounds very cheesy, but it did have that feeling. And the ground kind of had this, like a vibration to it almost. And they call, you know, like the Masai Mara is supposed to be like the cradle of life, cradle of all civilization. I fully believe it because it is unlike anything I've ever felt in my life, the feeling I've had. Being in both Amboseli and being in Masai Mara and being surrounded by all of these animals in their habitat, knowing you are truly a guest in their environment. And there's just something so incredibly beautiful and peaceful about that. And that's not something that I get to experience very much in my own everyday life, that peaceful, calming feeling. We're in our projected safari trucks that we're supposed to be in with our little groups for the entire trip. And we did kind of stay in our own little tribes, so to speak, for the group. We had the best guides and drivers. I think on average, they've been doing this 40 years. These guys, 40 years of taking people out and into this and getting to see this every day and looking at it through the same eyes, like almost like a child of seeing, like you're seeing this stuff through the eyes of the people you're there with. And I will say, unlike anything else I've ever done, this is probably one of the most incredibly bonding experiences I've ever had. You get to know people pretty well when there are things like bush bat moments involved.
Like cheetahs chasing you or what?
No. It's when you have to go to the bathroom and they're
all gotcha. Bathrooms. So you were out there peeing with the elephants and stuff?
I personally did not, but yes, people were out there doing nature. When nature calls, nature calls, really.
Interesting.
So we went to Amboseli. That's where we saw Kilimanjaro. I have the most incredible pictures and videos. It was almost like it was scripted. This big, beautiful elephant just wandered right in front of the mountain. Wow. Stood there for us to take his picture. It was like we had just ordered it. They were coming up to the trucks. The baby elephants were coming right up to the trucks. When we saw the lions, they came right up. I could not believe that a lion walked right by my window. So the trucks we were in, you could put all the windows down, but then we also had the top that went up so you could stand up and kind of had that panoramic view, which was fantastic. But one point in time, there was a giant male lion so close to the car, I could have stuck my hand out and touched him if I wanted to. It was incredible. That was the first place we got to experience a sundowner, which is where you go out and have, in our case, we got to go up to a lookout point and have this beautiful view, and they had cocktails for us, and they had little appetizers and hors d'oeuvres made for us, and there were guards out there too to make sure, and the Maasai was there to kind of greet us, and got to see this incredible sunset. And we did it. We loved the sundowner so much. We did them at every place we stayed. We did a sundowner. Nice. Okay. Which is also great because you get a little mini bit of a nighttime game drive on the way back, because you're coming back through the national park where normally you're supposed to be out of there by a certain time. So and at night is when the predators are the most active. So that's when we saw the most of the hyenas and the jackals. And
oh God,
it was really cool to get to see that. Let's see. So
do all the lodges kind of offer something like that?
All the lodges there, yeah, you can generally find some place that'll take you out to do a sundowner in the park. So two of the lodges that we stayed at were actually really kind of special lodges. We were at the lake. We went out to Lake Navasha. Well, first, before that, we went to Hell's Gate National Park. Which was incredible. We got to see the Pride Rock for the Lion King, inspired the Lion King. And that's kind of a neat park because there are no predators out there. So that's a park where you can walk if you want. You can do hiking or biking. There were people who in our group who had started out, they were going to do hiking, and they ended up not doing that, and we ended up picking them up. But I got out and walked for a bit and got to see a giraffe where it was like I'm in arm's length from a giraffe. It was so cool. Not arm's length, but really close, way closer than I didn't even realize that we were walking, and then just right there, right by the bushes, there's this giraffe eating out of a tree, and it was so cool to see. But we went to Lake Navasha, and where we stayed at Lake Navasha, this was kind of our first experience of staying somewhere where the animals could just kind of roam around the hotel or the resort area. So we could not go to our rooms unescorted.
Oh,
we had to escort to and from our rooms. And my room was kind of like in these, they're like little like cabin, like duplexes almost. And I described this right. But so my door, and then there was one more door, and then there was the end of the building. So my room and then someone else's room, and then it was the end of the building. And so I'm going to my room at night, and the guy's like, oh, would you want to see the hippos? And I'm like, sure.
The hippos, of course. Yes.
Sure. Why not? I'm thinking he's going to take me out because I'm thinking he's going to take me out to like the bar that was hippo themed, and where you could see the hippos from the bar, and we're going to look out and see the hippos all in their thing from the bar. Well, he takes me out to around the corner, like past that door next to mine, around the corner of the building. And I swear less than 15 steps, couldn't have been more than 15 steps from my door. There were like, he's shining the light and there's like at least a dozen of them. And wow. They're all just standing out there. And the zebras are out there grazing and they're out. They just come out and they go around and the lions will come. Everyone comes out and just roams around. And then I get back in my room and he's shutting this patio door, basically. It's like a glass patio door. And all the wind, the whole front of my room is all glass. So you can see, right?
Yeah.
The door is alarmed up so that an alarm goes off when you open the door at a certain time to let the guards know, let everyone know that you opened the door and you shouldn't have or whatever. It's just for safety. It scares off people, scares the crap out of you if you do it.
Did you do it?
I did. I had shut the curtain, the bottom of the curtain in the door, and I went to open the door to fix the curtain, and it went wee wee.
I'm not going to see the hippos. I swear.
I'm not. I can promise you, I am not wandering out where the predators are right now, for sure. But all I kept thinking is, if this hippo really wants to get me, it's going to come right through this glass door.
And they're sweet, so they wouldn't.
They're not sweet. Anyway,
they're not sweet.
But you would love.
They look sweet, but they're not.
You would have loved the hippo bar. The other thing that we did there, we went out on a boat safari. And at first, I thought boat safari, we're going to be in hippo-infested waters. So, of course, we're going to be in these big, giant... No. We were in, like, a skiff. We were basically like a canoe. Oh, surrounded by hippos. And they're doing their hippo things. And at any point in time, they could have capsized our boat. And it was just... But we got to see so many cool things. The eagles hunting. We got to see a bunch of animals. That the boat safari was incredible. Also went out to... Let's see. We went to... the Masai Mara National Reserve, which goes through Kenya and part of Tanzania. It's like, it's as big as it is, it's only 17% of the Serengeti. So this is the epitome of realizing your insignificance in the world. As you're standing there and you're just looking as far as you can see. This is it. And these guys know this land like the back of their hands. And this is 40 years of driving. So they know, and they know where the leopards hide and where the, you know, what the signs are, which kind of birds are in the trees when there's an attack or someone got an antelope or something, you know, not just to look for the vultures, but if you see the hyenas or if you see the jackals out, okay, probably means that somebody else got something over here. And I have to say, I learned so much about animals. I learned so much about cheetahs. Catch about 80% of the kills, but they don't get to eat very many of them because they always get their food stolen.
By who?
Just jackals, hyenas, other lions.
Wow.
Poor cheetahs. They can't win. I just felt so bad for poor cheetahs. They got to catch 10 things to eat two or something.
That's like those nature movies that make, oh, I feel so bad. Like, well, oh my God, does he die? Does he die?
You know, they store it in trees and it falls out or somebody else goes up and gets it.
That's the leopard. So we go, we did all these game drives. We did morning game drives, afternoon game drives, evening, all day game drives. And I thought I was going to have a favorite. I guess if I had to have, it'd probably be morning, but I do really like being in the park later at night, even as creepy as it might seem. I didn't get the best pictures at night, but I think I got the best animal viewing at night because you're seeing they're so mobile and they're just kind of walking and they like to walk along the paths that the vehicles travel. So you will see lions and jackals and you'll hyenas. You'll just see them out just roaming. And it was so incredible. Let's see what else I did. A hot air balloon safari.
Which so you went up in a hot air balloon?
I did. Aren't you surprised? Because I'm surprised.
I am actually kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting to see that on there. I would have loved to see you getting in and out of that.
So they load the basket. If you ask, they'll load it on its side.
But oh, it, well, so you just like, go like kind of lay down sideways, or
yeah, I didn't do that. I did the up and over the side, but the basket is divided in four. And I will say, if you're listening to this and you're wondering if it's worth the money to splurge for your own private or semi-private, it totally is. It totally is, because otherwise you are in four. You're each in like a four squares, and they fill them with people.
Oh. Like, so it's not just you and your own little square.
No. It's you and however many people that they can fit around you. So If you are wanting to do something romantic, like someone in our group proposed.
Aw. Oh, wow. So
we're all invited.
Like, we're invested in this now. We're going to the wedding.
Very sweet. I was thinking, gosh, if she says no, this is going to be a really awkward rest of this. It was incredible. And some people, so I went out of the balloon ride while I was doing that. People went to the Maasai village and saw the dancers and learned about the dance that they do when they're trying to prove. So the young men in the village will have this dance they do where they jump, and the person who can jump the highest proves that he's ready to get married and take care of a wife.
Wow. I'm not really
sure how that translates to the skills, but that's
okay.
The proof. So I learned so much about the Maasai culture, really very fascinating, very kind-hearted, welcoming people. Got to try some traditional food, not as much as I would have liked. That's one thing I am changing for my next, because I'm going back next year. My next trip is going to be slightly different, but this was incredible.
How was the whole country, like all the places you went, in terms of like, did your cell phone work? Did you need to change your money? Like, what's the nitty gritty on that?
Ironically enough, there are places in my house where I can't get service. but the Maasai Mara, I'm happy to report, must be living in 2050 because they've got like 7G out on the Serengeti.
Wow. I've
never been so mad, slightly bitter in my life than the fact that I couldn't even say, you know, I'm in Africa and I can't.
Yeah, I need to tap out. I'm not going to have service.
At one point in time, I had my laptop out and I was booking something for a client in the back of the Jeep as we're going from one area. Because we talked about before when Liz was talking about Morocco and going from one place to one place to one place. Well, you're covering quite a lot of area here in Africa with a lot of these, a lot of the parks that we went to, in doing the flying from one area to another is really smart. When it comes to certain destinations, if you're looking to do a combination safari where you're going to a bunch of different parks, or you're maybe incorporating a trip to the coast, which is something very popular for people to do, to get that last couple days where they're spending it on the beach and they're getting that relaxing time before they go home. These are very intense trips. This is not a relaxation trip. I might have said like this. I did feel more at peace and more calm a lot of the time here, and I think that's just generally because the environment that I was in, it was just such a very calming, very soothing experience. However, there's a lot going on. So when there's a sighting of a jaguar, getting the big five is on everybody's list. You want to see the big five. You want to see all five animals.
What are the big five for our listeners?
And you know I have to cheat because...
Wait, let me see. Because we've talked about this before. Let me see if I can name. So, elephant. Giraffe. Is like water buffalo one of them?
Yes.
Lion. And hippo, right?
Nope.
Rhinoceros.
Nope. The rhino and the leopard.
Oh, well, that's like seven. Say it again because I obviously just like was throwing my big five out there. So what is the big five?
the official big five are the lion, leopard, black rhinoceros, African bush elephant, and the African buffalo.
All right. Cool. And so just for reference, when did you go and how long were you there? Like, how long does it take to do all this?
So this was like a 10-day thing. I was there in June. If you want to see the Great Migration, which is what the big popular thing to do here, you want to go like this end of July to beginning of October or somewhere around there. It does fluctuate. Okay. Sometime in the peak would be July or July, August, early August probably would be the peak, but it does fluctuate and they can kind of predict it. You don't know where the animals are going to be at any given time. This is not Disney. They're not signing contracts. Well, there's no animatronics.
In my head, it's all the Kilimanjaro safaris.
Yeah. That's exactly. I will say that I felt like I needed to, I had so many inappropriate, like, Lion King songs in my head after seeing the Pride Rock. Anyway, so you want to go when at the peak of this, but this is also the time that is the most busiest. So we kind of went shoulder season, which is also good to do. Either go really early in the season or go really late in the season. It was good for me because they were just starting to get cooler, and even though people were cold, it was fantastic because it was still hot for me. Okay. And you're going to pick up a lot of sun. You know, we were rotating positions in the vehicle. And if you're the person sitting in the front, you need all the sunscreen because you're just direct sunlight right on you. And I've never been so happy in my life to have brought hats. I got a hat and I bought another hat. And I was so happy that I had them because I wore it every single day. The sun is... can be brutal. It's so beautiful and it adds so much to the experience, but it definitely is not a place where you want to go or forget any of that stuff. And this is definitely a place where you need your sunblock, you need your long sleeve shirts and pants and boots. Probably didn't need, like, we weren't doing, you know, weren't trudging through whacking down weeds or anything like that, but
so, yeah, you know, no bushwhacking. Yeah. So you put on here another bullet point for shopping. So did you do a lot of shopping?
I did not do as much as I kind of thought that I would, but everywhere we went, there were a lot of villagers that were selling things. And I put that note on here to say that I am on the, I guess on the spectrum, I have a little bit of a problem with if I'm being crowded, like if a bunch of people are running at me, mm-hmm. or people are very forceful with things, it kind of makes me shut down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's not a, it gives me anxiety. And I almost had a panic attack at one point in time because they will surround the vehicle and they're very, this is how they make their living. They're trying to support their children. There are, you know, all these great reasons for why they do it, but it can be super overwhelming and intense. And just to know about that there are certain places, but then there are other places where you can go and you can have a more organized shopping experience. Of course, all the rest stop areas that they're going to take you to everywhere you go, just like everywhere else in the world, are going to also sell souvenirs as well, but I would try and make a conscious effort to buy directly from the villagers, from the Maasai, because that money will do the most good and go the farthest when you spend it with them. The only problem with this, though, is that I wanted to spend money, and somebody actually shared a video they took of me in the car getting kind of bombarded, because if you roll down the window even an inch, mm-hmm. they'll throw stuff in.
So
and you kind of gotta, like,
Did you exchange, like, so you exchanged money when you went there, or?
I did get money out of an ATM, which is my standard practice because of how we bank. We get a better exchange rate through our bank, and we get a better, we get ATM fees reimbursed through our bank because it's a government bank. So I use that a lot when I travel. I didn't get money in advance. Like a lot of people say do this, but then you spend more money and who knows what the exchange rate it is. And for me, it's more like I'm going to lose it. It's really what it is. Because it's such a weird conversion too. I will say the change, oh, forget it. I just gave all the change away because it just didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I could not just try. And you're supposed to haggle. But I couldn't.
I hate to haggle. Yeah.
I hate that. I was just, tell me how much it is and I will give you all of this money. I do not care. I brought it. I brought X amount of money to spend knowing it was going to be used in a good way for somebody. And that was just it. But they have these little soapstone kind of carved animals, little rhinoceroses and little elephants and little baby elephants and little baby lions and lions. And once I found out that there was a whole plethora of them, I had to, of course, everywhere we went, I had to go look for these little soapstone animals. So I did buy that. But my big thing about shopping was if you can shop directly with the villagers, that's your money is going to go the farthest and do the most good. Buying directly from the people, just like everywhere else we go.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All righty. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.